Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, a game that the Sabres felt as if they had to win got ugly in a hurry late in the third period. The Rangers scoring three times in the final 3.5 minutes, and a 3-2 lead blew up to a 6-2 Rangers final. As we welcome you here to 716 Food and Sport, I'm Brian Colziel here on the Paul William Belts Sabres post-game show. A sloppy game on both sides, I agree with Rob Ray. Opportunities on both sides to score throughout because of some poor defense. I thought some bad awareness on both with both teams. The ice was poor, too. It led to guys slipping and falling, but opportunities maybe where the puck was bouncing all around. But nevertheless, no excuses for the Sabres in this game. A game that I really felt they had to have. I hate to be sports announcer guy that said, hey, this was a must-win, because we hear that all the time, and I think it's exhausting. But, boy, did it really felt like it tonight. The Rangers are not a team that scores six. That's just not what they do. They were dead last in the East in goals for coming into the night, and they put up a six spot on Buffalo. And the Sabres lose by four. And the homestand ends. We talked about it going in to start the month, this huge seven-game homestand with teams that looked beatable on paper. Chicago came in. They were in last place in the division. You had Detroit. Of course, they got a win there. The Rangers are in second last in their division. There were some games that we thought were important, like Carolina. They ended up losing in that game. The Sabres end up doing kind of what they are, a 500 team, a team that goes back and forth, a team that can't put together a win streak now since December, and can't win two in a row in regulation since October. The homestand ends 3-3-1, exactly half of the points, 7 points out of a possible 14. And when you get half, you can be in the race, but ultimately it's going to fall short. And the Sabres are going to have to get their act together down the final month and a half here of the season if they're going to legitimately have a chance at the postseason. Tonight, again, it's one game. There are still 20-some games left, but it feels a little more painful tonight that the Sabres end up falling by a 6-2 score. All right, Brian Colziel here at 716. We'll, of course, get to your phone calls. We welcome them in. 803-0550 is the local number, 803-0550. Feel free to give us a call anywhere, no matter where you're listening around the world. You can call us here on the toll-free line. That number is 1-888-552-550. Again, 1-888-552-550. You can send me a tweet on Twitter. Go ahead and do so there at BrianWGR. You can send us a text. That number is 550-550. Coming up here on the postgame, we'll be heading to the locker room in just the next few moments. Paul Hamilton is on his way there now. We'll get player reaction from this 6-2 loss tonight by the Buffalo Sabres. Also, Phil Housley and his live postgame comments coming up in the next little bit here on the postgame. So we'll have that for you when Phil meets with Paul and the rest of the media. We'll, of course, take you there live for that. All the highlights that we need to know from this game, all the stats, the breakdown. We'll update you on the standings. There's two other games involving teams tonight that are kind of around the Sabres in the race. Carolina's playing at home right now with Edmonton. Carolina, the team exactly in front of Buffalo right now, and the Canes are leading the Oilers early third period by a 2-1 score. The Bruins, I guess if you have your sights set on them, Boston is 9 points ahead of Buffalo in the Atlantic. They are in Anaheim to take on a bad Ducks team, but maybe we should forget thinking about a team like Boston right now. The Sabres, again, it's mind-boggling that they cannot string anything together. They have not won two in a row since mid-December. They have not won two in a row in regulation since October. That is incredible. You hear that, and you feel like they shouldn't even be anywhere near to the race. They're in it. It feels a lot worse. But they're there. I mean, Right now, the last playoff team has 67 points. The Sabres have 63. There is a ton of games left. Buffalo's played 57 of 82 games. I mean, there is plenty of time to make up 4 points on either Columbus or on Pittsburgh. But boy, does it feels like it's slipping away at a much faster pace than the math would say in the standings. And Jason Bottrell has a decision here coming up. Trade deadline is about a week away here. We'll see what he does. You got to think, at least I got to think, he can't let this season just end in this negative manner. He's got to at least do something here soon to try to give this team a little push, a little nudge, a little vote of confidence. Hey, guys, you're in it. I know it hasn't been great. I'm going to give you a piece or two here to help you, and maybe you can figure out a way to get into the postseason, which I think would be a valuable piece to the rebirth of this organization that we know has been dreadful now for years and years. Also, a very good growing experience. No one's expecting the Sabres to go win the Stanley Cup if they somehow get in the playoffs, but for guys like Dahlin, for guys like Mittelstadt, for even Jack Eichel to be in the postseason for the first time, to me, that would be very meaningful. And, of course, I don't have to tell you listening, the fans here, like, it's been a long time since the postseason. I'm sure anybody listening right now, yes, you get in barely. Maybe you got to face Tampa in round one. You'd still sign up for it right now. And, you know, the math says, again, they're two wins back. So there's a ton of games left. They've played game 57 tonight. But, boy, it just feels like they are just not able to look like a team that's legitimately in this race when they just cannot string anything together. And the goal that the Rangers scored tonight to kind of break the back that pushed it 4-2, it felt like the Winnipeg game the other night. A real good third in terms of generating opportunities. I mean, how many players had an opportunity to tie the game up in the third and just could not bear down and finish? You cannot just ask Jeff Skinner, say, go out and get a third one. And he almost did. But Eichel had numerous opportunities to finish. He hit a crossbar. Maybe one even glanced off the post. He had a couple of opportunities. Dahlin hit a post. Gergensen's had a breakaway. He's virtually a waste offensively right now. I mean, he has 3 goals this year. I mean, figure out the last time he scored. It's been such a long time. Tage Thompson, active in the third, had an opportunity. He fanned on a chance. Again, that might have been just some bad ice there early third. But then he has one where he grabs the turnover. He's all alone in front. And Georgiev gets an arm on it. And then chance after chance after chance, they can't get it. And then, you know, 5 minutes to go, and all of a sudden the puck's in the Sabre end. And they can't get it out. And a chance to clear, and they can't get it out. And it's in the end, and it's in the end, and the Rangers keep cycling. And then, oh, then a chance to click, and the poor decision. And then the Rangers win a battle, and they've got the puck again and again, and then pass it, bang, tap in. Just like the Winnipeg game. A huge goal at that point. Now, the game was tied against the Jets. Wheeler had that tap in that game, but it felt kind of the same way. Around that same moment in the game, I believe the Winnipeg goal from Wheeler came, let's see, when did he score? 16:05. Well, I was really close on this. Buchnevich scores at 15:59, so about a six-second apart differential where Winnipeg kind of takes it the other night. And then you see Buchnevich tonight as the Sabres were caught in their end for a while, and then he gets the tap in as Hayes circles, winds up, looks to shoot, and then at the last second sees Buchnevich at the side of the net, taps it in. Nothing Allmar can do at that point. And then 4-2, bang, 5-2. 6-2 is the final. Let's go to the room for reaction. Here's Jeff Skinner live with Paul.
Jeff, a lot of breakdowns. The defensive zone coverage just wasn't there at all. What happened after it had been so good for three games?
Yeah, not the start we wanted. I thought we came out pretty good in the third and had some momentum off of that PP. Couldn't find that one, but obviously kind of dug ourselves a bit of a hole to get out of, so weren't able to do it.
Why were you guys so bad on the defensive coverages?
I don't know. I think we go back and we'll sort of take a look at it and try and tighten things up. I don't know. I mean, I think that they're trying to score too. They make plays. The other team's trying to win too, I think. And you gotta try and do the job to limit them as much as we can. And we didn't do a good enough job. I think they obviously we gave up too much. I thought Linus made some big saves for us. But yeah, it's tough. You dig yourself a hole like that to get out of. Yeah, we weren't able to do it.
Did you feel there were plenty of opportunities to get that game tied up? You hit, what, a crossbar, a post. Pominville was open twice in front. Thompson was open twice in front. It seemed like you guys had some opportunity also.
Yeah, for sure. We had chances to tie it up. I think, Linus kept us in there. He made some big saves. A couple posts early in the game, too, I think. And you just have to stick with it, I think. Their goalie made some good saves. Just have to stick with it and keep trying to execute and trying to make plays and bear down in front of their net. And we weren't able to tie it up.
Jeff, you guys have won 2 in a row since mid-December. Why can't this team find any consistency?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough league. I think you got to bring it every night, and you can't have lapses for 5 minutes, 10 minutes of games. I think that's sort of been sort of a theme, I think, and this time of year, I think you give a team a chance, you give them 5 minutes to sort of carry the play, and then before you know it, you're in a bit of a hole, and if you keep doing that to yourself, it's the odds aren't good for you to sort of dig yourself out of that every night. So I don't know. I think you just have to keep working at it. I think it's a tough league to win in. It's a tough league to win consistently in, and we have to find a way, especially right now.
Jeff's getting around the post-game. Brian, back to you.
Well, there's one player you can't fault for this loss tonight, Jeff Skinner. When he had the opportunity, he buried it twice. Can't say the rest about his teammates. And that includes the best players on this team. Jack Eichel was excellent at creating chances tonight, but he didn't finish. And I guess you have to put some blame on him. The top line, again, this is a repeating storyline. The top line just can't do everything. Somebody else got to step up. All right, here's Zach Bogosian now live with Paul.
First period, given how you guys had played as a group the last three games.
Yeah, obviously not the start we wanted. Being here at home, we have to establish home ice advantage, and, you know, that wasn't the case tonight.
Is checking detail just not there,
Zach? I mean, I think they have a couple good bounces there. I think the second goal goes off someone's leg. I think, guys are, trying to do the right thing. It's just, it just wasn't the way we needed to start.
Still, we've talked about five-man unit defense has been really good for three games. Were you guys just not in sync as a five-man unit tonight?
I think plays are going to break down, and I think that we have to do a better job of working from the inside out and keeping them to the outside. I think at times we did it, but obviously not consistent enough.
Your frustration was pretty evident on the shift where you were caught in the ice over 2 minutes in the goal and ends up going in the net. I mean, how difficult is this for you as a guy who's been here a while to think this team is going somewhere and you guys are back in the same rut again?
I don't think about how me. I mean, I think as a team we have to go through it. That's how I think. I'm not frustrated with anything other than I want our team to win and I want our team to do well. So,
you guys have not won 2 in a row since mid-December. Why do you think you've found no semblance of consistency here for over 2 months?
Obviously we have to string some games together here. It's coming down to the home stretch. Consistency, something we've kind of been up and down with a bit this year. So, we definitely have to, find that, if we're going to give ourselves a chance.
Scary to see Kyle leave given, his what he's gone through in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to see one of your teammates get hurt. Great job by him, though. It's not an easy thing to do what he did, and, obviously, tip the cap to him. It's not an easy thing to do.
Thank you, Zach. Zach Bogosian in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Zach Bogosian there. Yeah, he amongst that group that just seemed like it was out there forever that eventually added to that Ranger lead to make it 4-2. And then seconds later, Domestikov gets a gift as the puck just, got away from Allmark behind the net. And before you know it, 2 goals in 8 seconds. Rangers went up 5-2, and then Domestikov gets the empty netter with 58 seconds to go for his second of the night. and a 6-2 Rangers lead, and that ends up being our final tonight, 6-2 Rangers victorious. All of our interviews tonight in the locker room, part of our Blue and Gold Locker Report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Quality health coverage, it's our mission. Visit FidelisCare.org. Next game for Buffalo, they will finally leave KeyBank Center after 7 in a row at home. They are in New Jersey against the last-place Devils. They have 50 points in the Metro, dead last. Another winnable game on the schedule Sunday night. That game is at 6 p.m. I'll have pregame at 5. I hope you can be with us for that one. And then the Florida Panthers up next on the road. Again, a team right now with not any sort of look at playoff aspirations. Sabres, though, have struggled with Florida. I think they've lost like 6 or 7 in a row against the Panthers for whatever reason. That's a Tuesday game. And then Thursday, they're in Tampa. Good luck with that. 90 points for Tampa last night. I thought it was, they put up 6 last night in Dallas. Kucherov had like another 4-point night. That team is legit. They've won 4 in a row. But that's not till Thursday. Sabres have Devils next. All right, Jack Eichel now, live with Paul. Let's go there.
Thanks, Brian. Jack, it seemed like as good as you guys have been in five-man units defensively for 3 games, it seemed wasn't near as good tonight. What were the breakdowns tonight?
I'll have to go back and look at them. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think sometimes you start playing with the puck. You know, we have it on our stick and we give it back to them too easily.
Jack, you guys had a lot of chances offensively in this game. But why do you think there were so many plays where guys were just in a fog at the defensive end of the rink tonight?
I don't know. You know, I think it just goes back to, you know, work and, you know, I don't know. I don't think we played it as a five-man unit tonight.
How shocking is the consistency end when you haven't had 2 in a row since mid-December? And
yeah,
that's really,
it's tough.
Do you have any idea why you haven't found the consistency?
It's tough to really pinpoint it right now. To be honest with you, Mike, I mean, you know, I don't think we had a very good start to the game. And, you know, maybe we got a little bit back there in the second. And then, you know, they get a couple in the third there. Seems like we're all over them. And we got a pretty good push going, you know. Maybe if we get that third goal, it's a different story, but we don't. And, you know, it's tough. You know, they get that next one, and, you know, then they get a few more, and it's just tough.
Jack, was it frustrating at the offensive end? You hit a crossbar. Darlene hit a post. Yeah. Pominville was wide open a couple of times.
I think that happens, you know. Can't really blame that sort of stuff. I think it's important for us to just get back to work, and we got a nice little road trip here, and you know, just you can really only worry about the next game. I think that's what we need to do now, and obviously it's frustrating. We would have liked to end our homestand on a better note, but you know, we played Jersey on Sunday. It's a big game for us.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Eichel on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, thanks, Paul. There's the captain, Jack Eichel. I mean, you can, I don't know, I obviously I'm not standing next to him like Paul is, but boy, does he sound defeated. Just doesn't really have answers, and, you know, I can't sit here and say that he played poorly. I mean, he had a ton of opportunities. If you want to go after him, you can say, you know, he needs to bear down and finish like Skinner did, but, I mean, Eichel and Skinner are generating a ton of chances, and the rest of this team just is not finishing. Zemgus Girgensons, again, he is not on this team to score, but my goodness, contribute once in a while. The breakaway is there, and he messes it up. It's not even a good shot. Pominville had a couple of chances. He fanned on it. Tage Thompson in the third, credit for him for creating the chances, but then, again, unable to finish. Skinner was the only one that was able to get it done tonight. 2 goals. Sabres lose 6-2. New Jersey is next on Sunday, 6 o'clock puck drop. For all of our local affiliates, that's when we'll hear from you next as we say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. For all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, more Paul William Belt's postgame coming up here from 716. Again, the final, Rangers 6, Sabres 2. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. We'll be right back.
pass at center. Fast comes in over the line. Fast dropped it back. That deflected right on. And Allmark comes up with a big save of the night. Down to Nestikoff wants to get going. And a whole lot of folks would like to oblige him.
Big save there from Allmark on Strome. That with a 2-1 lead for Buffalo. Unfortunately, the Sabres end up giving up six in this game. But that save from Allmark is the save of the game. Brought to you by Geico, local office West Seneca. Save up to 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free Geico quote from local agent Scott Kaltman. Welcome back here to 716. I'm Brian Colziel here on the Paul William Belts postgame show. 6-2 Rangers victorious. Highlights in a minute here. We got some stats. Of course, break down how the standings look. We're not adding to Buffalo's total tonight. They'll stay at 63 points. Right now, the last team in, Pittsburgh and Columbus, they're tied for that third spot of the Metro in the final wild card. They have 67. Again, all is not lost. But boy, does it just feel like this team is just not headed where they need to be right now. But a little win streak. It is amazing that there hasn't been a win streak since December. And I'm not talking four in a row. I'm talking two in a row. Just get two. I thought tonight was going to be it. I really did. And the chances were there for it to happen. Only Jeff Skinner could figure out a way to finish. We'll also get to your phone calls. 803-0550 is the local number. Toll-free line is 1-888-552-550. Phil Housley, we're expecting to step to the podium here shortly. When he does, we'll take you there live. For now, though, let's get highlights in, and we'll pick it up in the third. 3-2 game. Sabres are down. Sabres putting on pressure. But unfortunately, it all falls apart on this shift. Sabres caught in their end for a while. And it leads to Buchnevich and his 11th of the year.
Kept in by the Rangers. Back it comes. Shattenkirk fired it. Trickles just wide of the net. Chipped off the boards, but not out again. The Rangers have the Sabres on the run with 4 minutes to go here in the third. There's a shot. They score. That was almost inevitable.
Yeah, Rick had it. You could sense it. The building sensed it. It was just coming and coming and coming. The Sabres end up giving up the goal there. Buchnevich with his 11th of the year, Hayes and Shattenkirk assisting at 15:59, and definitely the big moment of the game right there. Brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And then, right off the faceoff, another goal for the Rangers.
Now 4 minutes remaining, and there's another one. They score again. Allmark has played the puck behind the net. It popped out in front of the empty net, and that was an easy one. And it's going to go to Nemestikov.
Nemestikov getting his fifth. Rick described it well. Just misplay from Allmark. 8 seconds after the Rangers went up 4-2, it goes to a 5-2 lead, and then, well, for good measure, the Rangers add another one late.
And it came to the line and out to center ice. Rangers coming away. Empty net. And it's jammed into the net. And the Rangers, on that goal from Nemestikov, will have a 6-2 lead.
With 58 seconds left, Nemestikov getting his second of the night, sixth of the year. Strome and Zuccarello assisting. Empty net goal for the Rangers, 6-2. There are your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services around the corner. Or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Again, Phil Housley, we're expecting him any moment now, so stick with us here on the postgame following the 6-2 Rangers win over the Buffalo Sabres. So Paul Hamilton standing by in the media room, ready to talk to Sabres head coach Phil Housley. So as soon as he steps in, we'll take you there for that. A couple of stats while we wait. Shots in the third, Sabres 13, Rangers 8. In the game, it ends up 33 for Buffalo to 29 for the visitors. Power plays. Sabres again for the second straight game do not allow the other team on the power play. Rangers 0 of 0 in the game. Buffalo 1 of 3. Your winning goaltender, Alexander Georgiev. Nice name there. 33 shots. He made 31 saves. Linus Allmark takes the loss. Thought he played well. I know he gives up 5. On 28 shots, and then their 29th shot went into the empty net. Your three stars, Jeff Skinner from Buffalo, 2 goals. He's star number 3. Pavel Buchnevich gets a goal and an assist, that big one that made it 4-2. He is star number 2. And Vladislav Nemestikov, he gets 2 goals and an assist, 3 points. He is star number 1, but I thought Buchnevich comes through with the big goal. He had an assist on the VC goal We'll make him the high-impact player of the game tonight. Brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance at KeyBank Center, it was officially a sellout. 19,070 spectators in-house. I'd say a few Ranger fans as well. We were happy reacting as the Rangers beat Buffalo 6-2. Sabres on the homestand, again, exactly 500. If you were in your listening here on the start of postgame, the Sabres are just a 500 team. That's what they are right now. That keeps you in the race. That doesn't eliminate you, but at some point, a win streak you have to get, as Buffalo gets exactly half the points in this homestand, 7-14. Okay, Phil Housley making his way to the podium. Let's take you there for his live postgame thoughts.
Fog defensively in the first period.
Well, I just think we didn't execute. You look at our game, we didn't come back and support on the breakout. We didn't work. We were disconnected as five, and we didn't reload. We didn't execute. So when we don't execute, we look slow, we look sloppy. We let guys off the wall in D-zone coverage. We were easy to play against in the first period.
When you say we didn't work, that's true, and that's really an indictment of your guys. I mean, why do you think, given the stakes here and the way the defensive effort had gone the last 3 days, they didn't feel the need to?
Look, it's very disappointing because, you know, I feel we were taking a step in the right direction, and we were trending in a good direction. But you have to understand the desperation at this time of the season. And every shift counts, every play counts, the details of the game, and that's what's disappointing because of our, you feel we're moving in the right direction and we take a step back.
How do you make sure that they respond quickly? At times it's taken you guys a couple of games to maybe...
We don't have time to wait around. You know, that's what's disappointing about this game because everything we did well, even though we didn't get the result against Winnipeg, we feel, you know, we're going to attack the game tonight. And we thought it was going to be easy. And New York worked. Give them credit. You know, they cycled the puck well. We didn't pin a guy in a cycle. We didn't kill a play. We just let them roam. And now we're just riding our checks. And it just looks like we're soft, you know. And you look at the goals. They lack execution on the first goal. We win a faceoff. And then from that point, it's just do your job. Do your job in the defensive zone. A guy beats a guy back to the puck or net. The second goal is real the same. It's not killing a play, and they find a way to get a third goal. Same thing. We have the puck on our stick, and then from that point, we're going to have breakdowns. That's why we have our structure in place, and we don't pick somebody up. It's those details that are disappointing. In such a big game, it's, you know, and especially we're at home here. I think our record's been pretty good at home. Obviously, this homestand was big for us. That was a big game for us, and we lost that opportunity. Well, we got to come back to work, and we got to get ready for New Jersey.
You said it, and everybody in the building is thinking it. How disappointed are you to be coaching a soft hockey team?
Well, it's frustrating because I think we've played some really good hockey, especially in this homestand at times. And when we made that adjustment, we were tough. We boxed out in front, and you know that's a disappointing thing because we get away from the details of our game and the strengths that gave us some success in the recent three games. So that's the disappointing part because there's times running out. We have to understand that every detail matters.
Cool.
And it was unfortunate. I'm glad he stepped up. Somebody took advantage of one of our guys. He stepped up, and we'll know more tomorrow.
So why do you think these breakdowns in a game like this, a performance like this, happens at this point in the season with everything on the line?
I believe it's just the players need to understand. You know, we're not going to be able, like we've talked about, we do good things when we have the puck. I didn't think we managed the puck, number one, that well tonight. But when we don't have it, there has to be total urgency, and that's just one of the things we got to keep reminding them. And that's my job, is to keep reminding them.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, there's Sabres head coach Phil Housley, brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Housley, not happy. He's frustrated. He's annoyed. called his team soft multiple times, said his team didn't work multiple times. Read into that how you want. 6-2, Rangers victorious. We'll talk to you when we come back. If you want to give us a call, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Pat Malacaro to join me here as well at 716. We'll get his thoughts. But Housley with some strong words about his team here as the Sabres drop the final of the seven-game homestand to the Rangers tonight. I'm Brian Colziel. Lots more to come here on the Paul William Belts postgame. Stay with us here on the Sabres Radio Network.
Tips it around to the boards to D'Angelo. He got it up on the wing. And after it is Oposo, buries it, man, on the boards, and the Rangers are squealing now, looking for a penalty. Oposo and D'Angelo, and they're ready to go. All right, stand back. They're going to go. The linesmen are going to get me moved out of the way. And here they go. Down on the ice goes Oposo. He gets up again, but it's over.
Well, that skirmish involving Kyle Oposo tonight and the hit along the wall. It's our Seneca Poker Deck of the Game, brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. Welcome back here to 716. I'm Brian Colziel. Sabres fall to the Rangers 6-2. They end the homestand with a 3-3-1 record. 7 points out of 14, exactly half. Pretty much a 500 hockey team right now for Buffalo. They have played 57 games and are stuck on 28 wins. You double 28 wins, you get to 56. So they're right around that 500 mark. And that puts them four back of the playoffs of Pittsburgh and Columbus. So, again, there's plenty of time left. Sabres have 82 games in this season. But it is not trending well. To make the playoffs at some point, they are going to have to put together a win streak. And that's just not a game. That's just not one game. Cannot continue to win one and then lose the next game. They have not won two in a row since December. If you listen to our station, you are fully aware of that fact. We've been talking about it here for the last few weeks. But Phil Housley very annoyed tonight. If you're just joining us here, maybe you're just getting to your car coming out of KeyBank Center. Phil Housley in his postgame comments last segment multiple times used the word soft when describing his team. He said they didn't work multiple times. Very annoyed. Housley does not usually go after his team through the media. At least he hasn't done it that often. But tonight, he did. Calls here coming up, 803-0550. We bring Pat Malacaro in.
Hi, Brian.
Housley, when we've heard from him this year, we've sensed frustration. But he never has used words like he did tonight. At least he usually chooses to pick his spots. It doesn't happen that often.
Right.
He did tonight.
And there are times where we've heard him, it sounds like he's very agitated or frustrated, and you get little bits and pieces. And I'll always go back to what Paul will tell us all the time, is what Phil Housley tells us postgame isn't necessarily as forceful or as strong or as exactly what's said behind closed doors. He's very good at keeping a lot of what he thinks in that room. Well, tonight is one of the few times he's sort of let that guard down, and you really get the sense of how frustrated and maybe upset he is with the way the season has gone since the last more than 2 months.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is.
There's part of me tonight that wants to sit here and say, look at the chances that they generated. When they wanted to go hard in the offensive end, they did. Problem is only one player. Skinner used the word bear down and score and finish. Paul Hamilton likes to use that phrase, bear down and finish. And Eichel generated a ton of chances, and he hit the crossbar, and one I think deflected wide just off the post, and I want to credit him for creating all those opportunities. I thought he was flying in the third, but he didn't finish. Tage Thompson, three good opportunities in the game, two in the third early, couldn't finish. Pominville had two good chances, couldn't finish. Dahlin hit the post. Gergensen's on the breakaway. I'm so annoyed at him, but he's useless offensively. I got to let that go.
But that's an opportunity. How often do we talk about a guy that maybe, you know,
somebody else needs to chip in.
Right.
That was his moment.
Right.
And he failed.
And if you add up all those moments throughout the season, instead of at three goals right now, you're you may be doubling the total, and that doesn't sound like a lot. But in the context of the game itself, those are big moments. If you look just big picture, a lot of times you'll miss a lot of the little things that add up to the big picture. And I think that's one of those moments in the game. And Tage Thompson, you know, he's got a shot. The goaltender has no idea where the puck is because it's under his arm. If you're just able to get that through, now it's a good shot, and the goalie finds a way to make the save. But if you put the shot in a different location, maybe it gets over the shoulder. Maybe that goal ends up, instead of a 6-2 loss, you're staring at, you know, a tie game, or you're right on the doorstep of tying the game in these situations over and over again. And that's, I think, where some of the frustration starts to boil over.
Right. 6-2, Rangers beat the Sabres. Let's grab some calls here, 803-0550. Brian Colesdale now here with Pat Malacaro at 716. Jeff is with us here on the postgame. Hi, Jeff, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I got three quick points.
Sure.
Well, if it wasn't for Skinner, we'd be last in the league. We need to sign him. Number two is, I'm as frustrated as you are, opportunity after opportunity. Gergensen, he has to finish. Thompson, Tomville, like you mentioned. Another thing, Housley, finally some emotion in him. Finally. The calling out his team. And he's saying, do your job, 57 games into the season. That, to me, is a red flag. It almost sounds like Lindy Ruff a couple games before he got fired. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm not going to leap to the fact that we think Housley's getting fired in the next few games, but the coach clearly, that's his way of saying, like, I've told these guys on how to handle this, and they're just not. You know, I think he is sensing that, like, frustration of, like, I don't know what else to tell them, and fans might take that as, well, that's bad coaching. I take that as, how many times do I have to tell them before it's just not going to happen and we just don't have the right guy to do it?
How many times do the same players have to be told by different coaches?
Right.
And this, not being able to start a period or start a game in the right fashion and you find yourself trailing, I mean, that's not something that just happened the last 18 months. That's something that you can look back. Dan Bylsma was searching for those answers. Before that, they were searching. You know, it seems like the same issues now. A lot of the roster has turned over, but it seems like a lot of these things still creep up, and you maybe still have some guys that are still young in their development that they're not there yet. Tage Thompson, he's still very young in his development as an NHLer. That, you know,
it's a big moment for him there in the third.
A year from now,
it's one of his biggest moments of his career. Like, hey, if I can score here, this is a big moment for me here in my young development.
Right. A year from now, you want it to be different. But as of right now, it's not where he is. And unfortunately for the Sabres, there are quite a few of those players. This is still, for as many of the veterans that might not be contributing, you still have some of the young players. Like, you know, would you like to see more offense out of Casey Mittelstadt? Yes, you would. But he's not there right now in his young time in the NHL.
6-2 Rangers over the Sabres. Brian Colesdale, Pat Malacaro here at 716. Good call, Jeff. Thank you for calling in. Next, Mark is with us. Hi, Mark. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, again, I'm following up on Jeff's call as far as, well, when does this become a coaching issue? I mean, he mentioned that they were soft today. I think they've been soft for most of the year, my personal opinion. And he talked about urgency. And I, a season ticket holder, I go to every game and I see players that play on a nightly basis that don't have that urgency in their play. If they make a mistake, that's one thing. But if they don't go after the guy, I get frustrated.
Yeah, I think,
thank you, Mark.
I think it goes back to just what I said a moment ago, where how many of these players have been here through more than just Phil Housley, and how many of them have had the same issues. So I think it's if you want to sit here and say, where does more of the fault lie than another spot? To me, it's on the roster. It's not as much on the head coach right now.
I agree. Little salt in the wound here. Carolina game has just gone final. Hurricanes win. The Oilers have been a big help this week.
Yeah.
One goal in Pittsburgh. Sabres need him to beat Pittsburgh. They lay an egg. One goal tonight for the Oilers. McDavid's not had a good week. He hasn't gotten a point this week. They lose in Carolina.
Remember what Ken Hitchcock said? About a week and a half ago, maybe?
The coach can't want it more than the players, right?
Right. Like, the coaches can't want it more than the players at this time of year. How? I don't know. Where else does that apply?
Yeah, I mean, Edmonton, where are they at right now? 53 points. The last wild card team is 59 in the West. They're six back. Sabres are four back. That's not going in the right direction either right now. Well, good luck, Ken Hitchcock. All right, back to the phones here. 803-0550 is the number. A couple of good calls. Let's keep it going. Lori, you're up next. Hi, Lori. You're on the postgame.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
The thing I wanted to talk about, we've all got our little things that we watch, and it's a problem for us. My problem is face-off. I would just love to see a face-off fanatic on our team. I think back to when Sydney, you know, they said that Sydney spent the whole summer doing face-offs, pulling face-offs. I'm not a big fan of his, but I respect that. I would like to see one of our younger guys just be dying to be that guy that's a face-off guy. I'm not going to blame it on Eichel or anyone in particular, but, you know, sometimes we have to switch somebody in, Savoca or somebody to take a face-off. Do what we got to do, but, oh, couldn't we get better at face-offs? I'd just like to know what you think.
Thank you, Lori. Yeah, tonight, I mean, 45-55. I mean, we have debated face-offs. Some, I think, are just, you know, more meaningful than others. For those that hate seeing Savoca on the ice, part of the reason Housley sometimes does put him out there, he says it's for a key draw. Eichel was at 40% tonight. I mean, he has never really been above 50% as a career average. Listen, the best face-off guy for the Sabres, like that really, if you're a person that feels face-offs mean something, which Laurie, you obviously do, he's playing for the Blues right now. Mm-hmm. Ryan O'Reilly was excellent for the Sabres, but he's not on this team anymore. I don't know if I would sit here and say, you know, on the list of things that the Sabres getting annoyed at, like, I don't know where that falls. I don't think it's high for me, but it's not great. I don't think it's been something that's been wonderful for this team. Thank you for the call, Lori. 803-0550. Sabres fall 6-2. We're taking your calls here on the post game, live from 716. Mike is up next. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Just want to make a comment about Jeff Skinner. The passion he plays with out there, you can just see it. He gets under people's skin. He's really serious about his game. You wonder how Pominville and Eichel, how that doesn't wear off on him. Rodriguez tonight, he played with a little bit of an edge. I think that's what we need 15, 18 players playing with, that kind of a game. And maybe that's what Housley meant about playing soft. Who knows? But, you know, maybe Skinner should have been the captain for crying out loud. I mean, he's playing with such passion, and I think that's what this team needs. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. I don't have any problem with Eichel's passion. I think he was going all out tonight. I just think it was just one of those nights that just didn't go for him.
He missed on like three.
Right. You know,
chances. He didn't hit the net with some of your shots.
Crossbar.
Right.
Just missing the net. Yeah, deflection on one that was close. I never really watched Jack Eichel and think about lack of passion. So I wouldn't throw him in there. Pominville is the player that he is. He's a guy with a good skill set who's slowed down over the course of his career, who when he's playing with good skilled players has a role, I think, on a team still. I guess it depends on kind of where you're going with passion here.
I think part of it too is effort, right.
Energy, consistency on the ice. If that's where you're going here with this, Skinner definitely brings it. Would you love them to feed off that energy? Yes. The third, the Sabres got outscored 3-0, but for the first 15 minutes of the period, Pat, I thought the Sabres had the better energy, had the chances. They just never finished. And then all of a sudden, it's caught in their end. And Rick said it on the call. He said, you could feel, Rick Jenneret, when we played the highlights on Buchnevich's goal that made it 4-2, he goes, oh, you could feel that was coming. Because the Sabres were in the end, caught in their end for a while. I know you were back getting ready for Phil Housley. I said it reminded me exactly of the Winnipeg game. It's 1-1 late in the third, and it's caught in their own end. You feel like it was coming, and then Wheeler got the tap in. Same kind of way. It played out tonight.
Right. It was the Sabres period up until that point. But for whatever reason, they were not able to handle the moment. And, I mean, it was easy tapping. There was nobody at the side of the net. It was like what we saw earlier on the homestand, where it was just tapping after tapping. A player was just left by himself. And, unfortunately.
Yeah, Hayes winds up there and looks like he's going to let it go. And then sitting on the side of the net tapping. 6-2, the final. We got a lot of calls here tonight, Pat. They're coming in. Let's go to Brian next to Williamsville. Hi, Brian. Go ahead. You're on the post game.
Yeah, I wanted to say Omar played really well. The first three goals, I think two of them he didn't have a chance on. The defense sort of let him down. The four was there. Couture didn't come back. Skinner played a great game, but I do think they need to make one big move. And it's not for goaltending. I think it might be more for maybe a good goal scorer and see what they can do, if not for this year, for hopefully next year, what 2 or 3 years the guy has on the contract.
Thank you, Brian. I didn't have a problem with Allmark's. I mean, the goal he lets in where he misplays it, I mean, that's obviously extremely poor timing. But, I mean, the Sabres are down 4-2 at that point. Am I expecting them to score two goals in the next 4 minutes? No. But it just...
That takes all the air out of the building.
It's just like...
That's it.
That just really... If people... By the... When it was 4-2, I saw the tap-in, and I walked out to come over here. And before I even got into the escalator to come down to come over here to 716 then, as I'm watching on the monitors, I come down, and I see what happened. I'm like, oh, boy. And then I look up, and there's like a rush coming down the escalator right behind me of people ready to go. Yeah, it was a tough moment there. Sabres fall 6-2. Let's do one more call here before we get Pat's update. John is with us on the post game. Hi, John. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering what do you guys think about how soon Pegula's going to pull the trigger and bring in Joel Quenneville and get rid of Housley?
I guess, and I've answered this question already, it's come up on Twitter tonight. I guess the question comes down to, if you don't think the roster is good enough, which many Sabre fans don't, I think there's a lot of agreement that this roster, as it's constructed, is not good enough. Well, then, is a coach like Joel Quenneville going to make the difference in 8-10 points with a roster that many think is inferior? And the answer to me is no. So you've got a head coach in Phil Housley who's in his second year. And to me, I've seen signs of improvement, whether it be the team defense or at times you see guys like Zach Bogosian and Rasmus Dahlin, who's a young player. You're seeing signs. Like tonight we saw Dahlin at one point almost go end-to-end. And he took on four guys. And normally you'd say, well, what are you doing in that situation? But he was able to find a seam, and he was able to create a little offense and move the puck in the zone. So you've got a coach who can teach offense through his defense. And at times it works. At times the defense seems to have big lapses, and the team defense has lapses. But to me, bringing in a different coach or bringing in Joel Quenneville specifically is not the difference between this team being in a playoff spot at this moment and not. To me, it's just not the case.
I'm not saying Phil Housley is the man to take this team to the finals.
Right.
I'm not saying that Joel Quenneville wouldn't be an improvement. I agree with you. Right now, if he walks in, are they making the playoffs?
Because of him.
Because of him. And I think my answer is more so still no. I still think it's about the guys on the ice.
Right.
I really do. I think Housley's message, whether it's getting across or not, at least publicly, like he seems to be saying the things that I feel like we're watching about defensive zone breakdowns and lack of finish and caring about every shift. It seems as though that the Sabres have been lackadaisical in that area. So he's bringing that up. Now, it's, of course, part of it on the head coach. Of course it is. But I don't know if a new coach coming in all of a sudden is getting this team to win 8 of their next 10 and suddenly they're in the playoffs.
Right.
All right, Pat. Well, I mentioned the Carolina game didn't go the Sabres' way. There's, I guess, one other team. For those who are really optimistic, they might be interested in this Bruins game tonight.
Yep. Sabres are 9 points, or excuse me, yeah, 9 points back of the Bruins before this game started.
That's right. And two out of three for the Big Four tonight, so we'll get the hoops update as well here. We go around the league one more time as Pat takes us through the scoreboard.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. We'll start with the final in the Hurricanes game. They enter the night a couple of points better than the Sabres. They finish at 3 points in front of Buffalo as the Hurricanes notch a 3-1 win over the Oilers. Curtis McElhinney makes 40 saves. Mikko Koskinen, the loss in goal for Edmonton, and Nino Niederreiter, goals 16 and 17, respectively, on the year. After two periods in Minnesota, Wild 4, Devils 2, and the Bruins a goal in the first period, lead the Ducks 1-0, about 4 minutes to go in the opening stanza out in Anaheim, a very light night in the NHL this evening. The Bills announcing earlier today that they are releasing tight end Charles Clay, ending his four-year Bills tenure. Big Four college basketball, number 25 in the country, UB, victorious at Toledo, 88-82. The Bulls beat the Rockets this evening. Also locally, Canisius defeats Fairfield 72-68. And Niagara on the wrong end of a 64-60 final. Manhattan victorious there. So 2 out of 3 for the local Big Four college basketball going the way of the hometown teams.
Yeah, nice job by the Griffs and the Bulls. UB was down double digits in the first half against Toledo. And they're home for Ohio on Tuesday. Toledo, by the way, if you don't know anything about them, they're a good team. I know the computer rankings, they're ranked in the top 50 in the country. They were 20-4 coming into tonight. So that's a really, really nice win on the road for the Bulls. All right, well, here's the standings update now. With Carolina's victory, Sabres are still 4 back of the playoffs, but now they still have to leapfrog Carolina, at least if Carolina remains outside. The Canes have now moved to 66 points. So you've got Columbus and Pittsburgh, the last two teams in at 67. Carolina at 66, and then the Sabres with 63. On paper, the next two games look very winnable, Pat. The Devils are playing poor hockey. They've won 2 of their last 10. They're in last place in the Metro, going backwards. And you mentioned about, you know, they played tonight, right? They lost, so to Minnesota, right?
Yeah. They're losing it.
Or they're losing yep. right now. Yeah, so that could be another loss. I mean, you're going to go into that place on a Sunday night in Newark. It's going to be half full. I mean, it's got to be a win. And then you're playing Florida. Amazingly, they just have not beaten Florida in, what, the last 7 tries, I think? But, I mean, you should be better than them.
Tonight's a night where you should have walked away with 2 points.
Correct.
And I think that's part of the frustration level for fans right now as well, is this is a team that, look, you're scratching and clawing for points. You need them at this time of year. Now that you're getting towards, we're in the middle of February, heading towards the trade deadline, March is right around the corner, and you lose to Carolina on the homestand. You're within reach of getting to 9 points out of a possible 14. You need to win this game tonight. And the frustrations, both seems like on the ice, off the ice, the fan base, everyone is really frustrated following this one.
Yeah, and we mentioned how big this homestand was coming in, and they get exactly half the points. We were debating, is 10 enough points?
Right.
Paul wanted 11 when we were talking to him. They got 7 of 14. And with who they were playing, including tonight's team that you just rolled out their resume for, it's not good enough, and that's where they are. The good news, they are still just 4 back. Columbus might be a team heading in the wrong direction. They trade Panarin and Bobrovsky, maybe they will fall.
Right.
You need one of the teams in front of you, if you're not going to play with win streaks, to just take a dive. Maybe Columbus will turn into that team. But to sit here and say, hey, maybe Columbus takes a dive and maybe they trade Panarin and Bobrovsky, I mean,
you still got to win.
You still got to win, though.
Right. You're still going to play Toronto a couple more
times. I feel like that's
the
team.
Right.
If they're going to catch somebody. I don't see Pittsburgh being caught. I don't have any
their
faith.
Track record says.
I don't have enough faith in the Sabres that they will be better than the Penguins by 4 points over the course of the last month of the year.
Right.
So it's Columbus for me. But you got to get by Carolina now. You keep letting them gain on points like tonight. All right, Pat, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sabres fall 6-2. Not the best way to finish the homestand for Buffalo, but a busy week next week. Sabres will play Sunday night in New Jersey, Tuesday night in Florida, Thursday night in Tampa, and then they're back here Saturday afternoon for Washington. Tampa, Washington on the back end of the week could be tough, so even more important that they get those wins here coming up with the Devils and the Panthers. Okay, that'll do it here.
Take a breath.
7-1-6. Good calls, though, tonight in the postgame. Thank you for all that called in. I thank you for listening. I want to thank our crew as well that brought you the Paul William Belts postgame tonight. Our producer back in our Amherst studios, Kyle Powell. Derek Kramer on our social media. Our crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Melicaro, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton. Thank you, gentlemen. Our pregame show hosts, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, and our game announcers, Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. Again, the final, Rangers 6, Sabres 2. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you at 5 on Sunday for pregame Sabres and Devils right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.